see for our faults, our shortcomings, our misgivings, right? But what, and find what? Grace to help us in time of need. Amplify says, coming just when we need it, more than enough, right on time. When do you need grace? When you need help. Grace here tells grace is God's help. So when Paul's praying, Lord, get this thing off of me. Get this thing off of me. Get this messenger of Satan that's buffeting me off of me. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Here he's telling, find grace to do what? You know, sometimes people fuss and ain't nobody helping me. Ain't nobody helping me. I can't see if I can get some help around here. But he's saying grace. You can find grace to help you when you're weak, when you looks like you can't handle it. Activate grace. Come to the throne of grace. Sometimes we might have to ask for mercy for trying to do it all our own. Trying to handle it all by ourselves. Are y'all here with me? And so we have to say, God, I'm leaning and trusting on you. I need your grace to help in time of need. Somebody say, glory to God. Somebody say, hallelujah. So grace is one of the most important subjects in the New Testament. Do you know about it? Do you deal in it? It takes grace to be saved. It's God's grace that we get receive healing. It's God's grace that he prospers us when we return our tithes and give our offerings. He connects us to prosperity and the blessing of God. That's grace. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So it's one of the most important subjects about it. It's therefore a subject we must understand correctly. Grace is an essential Bible theme. Grace, when grace touches a person's life or the life of an entire church, it always produces a transformation and has manifold effects. Guys, you know, like Brother Lou's talking about in offering teaching, when the devil's tempting you, And he gave a practical example of how the devil is always challenging you. But when you give and God gives you back more and things begin to prosper and increase, you can just look at your checkbook or look at your wallet or look at your bank account and say, grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Somebody say, hallelujah. And so, for example, when a person gives grace gives a person the ability to repent. The desire to change, the power to live an obedient, humble, and sanctified life. Everybody say great, thank God for grace. When the grace of God is working in a person's life, it enables and empowers and strengthens that individual. Of course, grace first produces an inward change, but it also comes with an outward evidence. Grace is not silent or invisible. When it touches our lives, it always manifests in observable ways. In fact, when we as born-again believers and Christ followers should expect God's grace to show up in many areas as an outcome of his touch on our lives. Now, let me give you some facts. The English word grace appears 163 verses in the King James Bible. 163 verses. Everybody say that's more than ample verses, right? The church age in which we live is called the age of grace. 39 verses in the Old Testament use the word grace. The first mention of grace is in the first book of the Bible. You guys can go to the next slide. The first book of the Bible, Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Hebrew word for grace in this verse is chin. I may be pronouncing it wrong, but some other English Bibles translate chin as favor. So, see, we find that grace is also God's favor. Amen. So, still others indicate grace in Genesis 6:8 means Noah pleased God. Amen. How many know you can please God? And with that, you get the favor of God. Somebody say hallelujah. We see from this example of Noah, and he found grace, and the scripture that we just read in Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, that we are encouraged to find grace today to help us in times of and moments of our need. We also see from this scripture, in this verse, we can find favor, kindness from God, acceptance, and grace from God to help us in our difficulties, our dark seasons, and our daily dilemmas. I would suggest to you strongly that every day you ask for grace to help in time of need. Each and every day has enough evil and enough dark things happening. If you're trying to do it by yourself, you should slow down, pump the brakes, and say, God, I need your. Because you know how it is. If you're frustrated by 12 noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or if you're starting to complain by 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I would venture to say and suggest to you that you probably didn't ask for grace to help you with that thing. Hallelujah. We're just setting it up this week. We're taking communion about it, but we're going to be talking more and more about it. Noah stood out among the people of his day because he obeyed God. And as a reward for his obedience, God gave grace, Noah grace or favor. Now, here's another suggestion I would give you. Don't carbon copy or copycat people that always say, what is grace? And you give a short definition, and people say this. People say it like this. People say, grace is unmerited favor. No, grace includes God's favor, but it's not always unmerited. Because Noah didn't find grace, because he didn't do anything. And God just squirted on him and said, oh, Noah, squirt, here's a bunch of favor. No, he gave Noah grace or favor, that Hebrew word chin, because of what he did. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so most Christians today say grace is unmerited favor, but it's clear that God gave Noah grace because of something he did. He obeyed God and he followed God. And favor was a benefit of that obedience that God gave him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Because faith, right? Noah, in Hebrews 11, if you remember, they recognized him as he moved with what? Fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. He did something. So he demonstrated faith, which is what? Believing, speaking, and acting upon the word of God. He acted upon the word of God because he moved with fear, prepared that ark so that his family could be saved and those animals could be saved and preserved during the flood. Because he told, he was a preacher of righteousness, 120 years, 120-year project, not one convert. He said, by faith. The scripture says, by faith. What did he do? He exercised faith and faithfulness for 120 years by obeying God, building an ark, and telling everybody it's going to rain. It's going to flood. They said, what are you talking about? Probably got ridiculed. Probably got talked about. But he found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. When we said faith, what? Makes grace. Grace makes, faith takes. Amen. So what is your faith doing? That's another reason why we take communion about that today, is what is my faith doing? If I'm low on grace, then I am low on faith. Amen? Next slide. Next slide, guys. Thank you, Lord. Grace is bigger than you think. Let's look at a couple of Old Testament scriptures. And today we're just kind of pound the whole thing and then start with Jesus, and then we'll pick up there the next time. All right? Exodus 9:8. But now we have what? We have been given a brief moment of grace. Everybody say grace. For the Lord our God has allowed a few of us to survive as a remnant and has given us security in this holy place. Our God has brightened our eyes and granted us some relief from our slavery. So another word related to the Greek Hebrew word chin, as we said, represents God's favor or pleasant action toward people. Let's look at another example. Hebrews 3:34. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to who? Grace to who? That means humility precedes grace. In other words, God holds prideful and haughty people in disdain because he said he scorns them. That means to hold in disdain, derision, and extreme contempt. So it's like a judge who holds defendants or a lawyer in contempt of court for their words and actions being out of order. In this case, prideful and haughty. We don't want our words or actions to be out of order because only the humble get the grace. Who gets the grace? So when our words or actions are out of order, God will scorn the scornful because he will hold you in disdain, derision, and contempt. You're in contempt of court. And the second thing is their attitude. Their attitude being contrary in this case or arrogant. I got to do it myself. Or I can't believe that, you know, and it's all about you being puffed up or proudful. God gives grace to the humble. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. He gives grace to the humble. He's not going to give it to you if you got an arrogant attitude. If you run off the mouth and you talk about things and talk about people and you bulldoze over people with your loose lips, come on now. God's not giving you grace because he's holding you in disdain, in derision, and in contempt of court. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah. All right, Psalms 84:11. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. Listen to this. The Lord will give what? Grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold for those who walk uprightly. So that's a condition, right? Those who walk uprightly will not be withheld what? Grace or glory. And it calls those two things good thing. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. So we see from that one verse that God gives both what? Grace and glory. So the writer of this psalm references two things as good things. Now, so there's one, and we're going to study them. We're going to look at them. There are many different wonderful aspects and attributes of grace and glory that the Lord longs to give us and distribute to his covenant children. The condition for receiving these good things is that we must walk and live uprightly. Everybody say, no cheap grace and no sloppy glory. God's not going to share his glory. And only to those who fear him, those who walk uprightly. Somebody say hallelujah. Now let's go back to that verse, Zechariah 4:7. We see the prophet here uses the word chin a little differently. He uses the command as a command to level a mountain. Who are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstones with shouts, grace, grace to it. So we see even in the Old Testament, grace was not only only favor, but it's also power. Not only favor, but also power. That means he moved that mountain. He's flattened out a mountain. Mountains is just representative or analogous of something big, something seemingly impossible to move. But you see, grace, grace. To it, right? Shouting, grace, grace. Now, how many of y'all run around the house and say you got a big problem, it's trying to stress you out, you almost got migraine headaches dealing with it, and you say, grace, grace. Hallelujah. And you release power over that thing. Hallelujah. What? Now, listen to this. The prophet Zechariah also mentioned not only the power of grace, but he's now mentioning the spirit of grace. Look at Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace. Everybody say the spirit of grace. And supplication, and that they may look upon me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one who mourns his only son, and grieve for him as one who grieves his for a firstborn. This is a powerful prophecy, brothers and sisters. Zechariah said that the eyes of God's people, Israel, would be opened at the end of the days. So they would recognize the one that they have pierced, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So we see the New Testament has 124 verses, the word grace. The word grace primarily in the New Testament is called charis or charis, charis, C-H-R-I-S in the Greek. Grace is bigger than most people realize. Now let's look at Jesus. You can turn to the next slide, please. And we see in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his what? Glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? And what? Full of grace and truth. Grace was and grace is upon Jesus. Now when we take communion, what did he say? This is my body, which is broken for you. While he walked this earth, he was full of what? Grace and truth. He said, remember me. What about you should I remember? Well, today we're invited and we have an opportunity to say Jesus was full of grace and truth. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. So grace was and is upon Jesus. God gave Noah grace because of how he lived. But Jesus was covered in grace because of who he is. So when we take communion, Lord, I remember your grace. You ever noticed every New Testament epistle written by Paul, he said, grace and peace be unto you. from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Grace and peace be unto you. So the word glory in this passage, where it says glory, verse 14 above, in this passage of scripture is the word doxa in Greek. In Hebrew, the word glory is kabod, but here in the New Testament it's called doxa, which means that that which is honorable, praiseworthy, and to be loaded with all conceivable good. Again, when you look at the communion table, you got to remember, put your mind on it. We're going to take some time because we're almost done. Take some time. God, you have that good. Yeah. He has grace for everything you need. And all he's saying to us this morning is, will you remember me? That my body was broken for you. Will you remember me? That my blood sealed, ratified, and established the New Testament for you. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. Only 39 mentions of grace in the Old Testament because the law came by Moses. But there's 120 something words mentioned grace in the New Testament. God gives more grace in this day of grace. Somebody say hallelujah. So if you're missing something, if you're broken in some area, if you are at a loss in some aspect of your life, you got to remember Jesus was full of grace and truth. Somebody say hallelujah. So this the word full in this verse, where it says full of grace, is in this scripture is plexes in the Greek, which means covered over. Jesus was covered over with the Spirit of grace, who is also the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. If you read the email I sent out this morning, I talked about get in tune with the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace is the Holy Spirit. So he's covered over with the Spirit of grace, who is the Holy Spirit, who's also the Spirit of truth. He's covered over with truth. So then he was covered or smeared over with all grace. That means there's different aspects and different kinds. All grace, and he was covered over with all truth. Somebody say hallelujah. So there's no lies. There's no deceptions in Jesus. All truth is in him. Hallelujah. All right, let's read our final scripture here, and we're going to take communion. We're going to take some time. All right. John chapter 1, verse 15. It says here, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he, talking about Jesus, whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness, listen to this, we have all received what? And grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Let's talk to Father in your own way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's get rid of it. Life's too hard. Let's get rid of the struggle is real. It is real. But you don't have to live in that struggle. Let's get rid of. I can't do it. I can't take it. I don't know what to do. Jesus Christ said, my body was broken for you. Jesus Christ says, my blood was shed for the remission of your sins and the ratification of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now talk to the Lord about anything where you've not activated your superpower. Grace is your superpower. The reason we fuss, we struggle, and stress is because we think, I'm all alone. Nobody's helping me. Things are not good for me right now. You've got a superpower. Activate it. Hallelujah. Come on, talk to the Lord about it. Now, as they pass around the communion elements, you can just continue to talk to the Lord. You guys can put on the music. Father God, we thank you. Thank you, Father God, for your blessings, for your grace, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your faithfulness, for your love. We thank you, Father God, as we take communion. Let this be one that brings radical change, a confirmation, a radical revolutionary revelation.